the heading in my Bible there on Hebrews 1 says, the Son is God's revelation. And that's what, Lord willing, we'll look at tonight here in John chapter 3, if you will turn there. What God must reveal in His people. He must do those things. We're just saying, go into a world that is dying and proclaim the Lord's perfect salvation. That's a perfect salvation. I wish I could just sit down for 2 or 3 hours and just dwell on that. He saves to the uttermost. Where's that? That's from complete, utter death to complete, utter Him. All the way. That's a perfect salvation. Not, we saved 89% of them. Perfect. That means perfect corruption must come from that too. That's who He had to save. Now, if the Lord gives me opportunity and the ability to consistently, as He upholds it, stand before a world that's dying and tell them all flesh is grass. Everything about mankind born of Adam is nothing. Christ is all. He is perfect. He's holy. And the only way we are to satisfy the Father that we offended, the holy God, each of us personally and perfectly offend, is through His Son, being put in Him, being made one with Him. And if I could get a bullhorn, if I could get a satellite TV channel and my own private jet and fly around the world, tell everybody underneath the sun that, I can say it Tom Blue in the face, and God the Holy Spirit has to make it effectual in the hearts of His people. And He will. No doubt about it. There's a whole lot about me I have no confidence in. The Lord's going to save His people. I can say that to the grave. I can testify, as we'll see here in a minute. I can be a martyr to that. I'll go to the grave saying that. He will. He will. John chapter 3, let's look at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that Thou doest except God be with him. We've seen some stuff. I've watched you. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that's the word, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee. Who's he saying that to? Whoever reads it. Unto thee. Marvel not, I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Remember in this chapter, as we go through it, all the way through verse 21, our Lord's speaking to a man. He's speaking to Nicodemus. That's 17 verses we have him talking to Nicodemus. I started counting them as I was sitting there, and I got to word 200, and then I lost count. So it's about 300 words. Oh, what if he'd come to us and speak 300 words to us? Wouldn't that be precious to us? But he's speaking to a man. And this man, he's either middle-aged or older. This isn't a young man. This is a seasoned man. He's a member of the Sanhedrin. At the age of 30, he was brought forth for his showing. Just like many others were. And they said, we like this one. We can do something with him. And so they made him go to school, learn some things. And after doing all those things, just as Paul did, sitting under great teachers, studying the Scriptures, memorizing the Scriptures, teaching people, whipping people, correcting them. Oh no, it says this. You missed a word. Then I said, you know what? We're going to put him on that Sanhedrin. He's going to be in the high seats of the synagogue. He was educated, outwardly mortal. You saw him down the street, you probably couldn't pick on him too bad, could you? He was a student of the Old Testament. He was a teacher and a ruler of them. He was an expert in the law of Moses. This man stood up in front of other people and told them, instructed them out of God's word. What a frightening thing. I'm terrified. I wrote on top of my notes today, get out of the way. I hope I ain't in the way. It's a scary, frightening thing. But we want to notice the change of his approaching. He said, Lord, I see some things. I know some things. And the Lord said, you can't enter in the kingdom of God seeing. No man's going to see the kingdom of God unless he be born again. He said, well, how can you enter? He said, you can't enter unless the word comes to you, the spirit comes to you, unless he does something. Now he asks in sincerity, how can these things be? How can these things be? When Christ gives life, he doesn't give part life. He gives eternal life. Man can give a life. We can have children, can't we? And the second that child's born, it's dying. It's corrupting. It's getting worse. It may physically grow, but death begins at birth. That's all we can give. When Christ gives faith, it's not a lame faith that can't save. It's not a faith that needs something else. It's smaller than a mustard seed, but it's His faith. It's saving faith. If a man chooses to believe, it's not, you know what, that makes logical sense, I'm going to believe in it. If he chooses to do that, he can choose not to. If someone through emotionalism and trickery and tactics and sorcery or whatever you want to call it, can convince somebody to believe on God, you pigeonhole. If I can talk you into it, another man can talk you out of it. When Christ gives faith, it's his faith, and it fails not. When Christ gives repentance, it's not half-hearted. Man can feel bad about things. I can feel guilty. I have a whole lot of guilt. I feel guilty about a whole lot of things. And it seems to grow every day. The more I'm alive, the more guilty I feel. And that's just, that could be anybody, couldn't it? When God gives repentance, He breaks a heart. He shatters it. A broken and contrite heart, what He gives. And it's effectual. Outside of the working of God the Holy Spirit in somebody, man just rebels. That's all we do. It may look like Nicodemus. We may be in a highfalutin society of religion, and it's rebellion against God is all it is. In the power of God, when He comes to His children, they bow to the Lordship of Christ. Every one of them. They all do. May look different. They might not say the same words. They may not be from the same part of the world, from the same generation, but they bow to a person. They bow to Him, and they bow to Him in all things. It's complete. Believe Him completely. Here's the last words of Nicodemus until we get over to John chapter 7. John 3, verse 9. John 3, verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? He went from seeing some things, telling what he knew. He went to a mocking the Lord and confusion. And now he wants to learn something. I believe he's earnest. This is a sincere question. How can things be? How can these things be? He's not argumentative. He's not boasting. He's not standing in his own knowledge. He asks the Lord, how can these things be? How can these things be? His birth wasn't accepted. He had to be born again. Born from above. How can this be? His work ethic. His zeal. Paul talked about their zeal, didn't he? He was earnest. He worked harder than I work. His zeal wasn't accepted. You'd call him a strong zeal, couldn't you? It must be of the water and of the Spirit. Entering a person and giving them life. Not fleshly birth, but born of the Spirit. How can this be? Lord, tell me, how can this be? And the Spirit moves like the wind. That's God's sovereign grace in electing a people. Of His own will begat He us, the Scriptures say. How can this be? I want to know about them things. I want to hear it over and over and over. I've heard it my whole life. I want to hear it some more. As long as I'm on this earth breathing, I hope the Lord keeps me and I hear that over and over and over. I know very young children in this world that can answer these questions. Do you know that? Here is this mighty man, a member of the Sanhedrin, And he said, Lord, how can this be? I've heard some small children out of the mouth of babes. How can a person be born again? God's got to want to do it, and he does it. Salvation is of the Lord. That ain't complicated. Christ puts him in his place one more time, though. His high office in religion that Nicodemus held, that wasn't accepted either. Look here in verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Aren't you a teacher? Aren't you a theologian? And you don't know these things? Does that seem harsh to you? Here's a man that has a different attitude. He's got a teachable attitude now. And Christ asks as plainly as it could be put, You're a master of the Jews, and you don't know this? That's your daily occupation, and you don't know this? Our walk in this world, while we're on this earth, believers don't soon forget what we are. We don't soon forget that miry pit that the Lord saved us out of. There's a constant reminder. We remember of that pit He saved us from. We remember through trials, Him stirring up our pure minds in us, remembrance of Him, who He is, who we are. Or we look in the mirror. We live with ourselves. We walk in this world in our own flesh. We know what we are, don't we? It doesn't change. Verse 10 says, Jesus answered and said to him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Natural logic would think he does know these things, wouldn't it? He read the Scriptures over and over again. He taught them. He was sincere. He had that zeal. And he walked so well outwardly. But he did not know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. He didn't know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Something more than just education. Something more than morality. Something more than sincerity. Catch that? Something more than sincerity was needed to enter into those mysteries. God had to reveal them to him. Revelation had to take place. That takes it clean out of our hands, doesn't it? Every bit of it. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, just a few books over. 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. Not the secular leaders, not the kings, not the governors. They didn't know that, but not the religious leaders either. It's the same lump. There's only two vessels made. You know that? There's a vessel of honor and a vessel of dishonor. Every one of them come from clay, and God makes a difference. Those religious leaders didn't know this either. Nicodemus was one of them, which none of the princes of the world knew, for if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Nicodemus' natural seeing, his natural hearing, his natural intellect, it was unable to enter into this mystery of salvation in Christ. Who He is. How He saved His people according to the Scriptures. Those Scriptures He held on to so well, didn't He? Verse 9, but as is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of a man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. God prepared. God prepared. You can't reveal something unless it's there. You know that? I had a handkerchief over at glass and I revealed the cup. That's because it was there. I just took a handkerchief off. God has to take calluses, cataracts off our eyes like He did with Paul. We're blinded by birth. He has to give us sight. How can any man be saved? How can these things be? That's what we're asking. Here's how, verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? I don't know what's inside of you. I don't know what's inside of anybody. And my heart fools me. I fool myself. I lie to myself more than I lie to anybody else, I think. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received speaking to believers. Now, we've received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. What's freely given to his people? Life's given to them. Faith's given to them. Mercy's given to them. Repentance is given to them. His righteousness is given to us. Free to us. Come at a great cost. His blood's what's shed for all those things to come to us. But it's freely given to us at no cost. Come take, eat, drink. Buy without price. Freely given. In Christ. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. I don't want to get in the way. That's my desire. There's things I see the Lord made evident to me, and illustrations are poor because they're from this earth. But I don't want my thoughts and my tactics to get in the way. Man's efforts to put the Word of God in a modern language, try to make it easier, to more palatable. Let's dumb this down a little bit. Let's put it in layman's terms so it's more understandable. The tactics we use all around this nation, around this world on children. Tactics, puppets, all kinds of things. We use our wisdom to teach men and women and children things that aren't profitable instead of using the Word of God. Playing the tell people what he said. Man's nothing. Christ is all. Bow to him. Bow to him. Tell them plainly. The only way a person can understand that in the heart. The only way you can understand in the heart the things of God is by revelation, and he has to do it. He has to reveal them to us. We just tell what the Word of God says. If the Lord gives us the understanding, we just tell what we know. We tell what we've seen the Lord do, and we tell what we've experienced in our own hearts. What he's done for us. Where he found us. What we are. He became us. He had to. And because he did, we are accepted of the Father. Justice demands it. Justice demands it. And just witness. I just saw it. That's all happened. I was standing there. Back in our text. This is what the Lord told Nicodemus to. Verse 11. John 3:11. Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen. Who's the we he's speaking of? Is that the three that bear record in heaven? Is that the three that bear record on earth? Yes, it is. But it's also all that's in Christ. His disciples there with him. Those apostles, what did they tell? They told what they saw. They told what they knew. We speak what we do know. Christ said, my words are them of him that sent me. And he testifies. That word testify, that's the same root word we get the word martyr. You tell it and you're ready to die by it. That's not a circumstantial evidence, is it? That's not them hired professional witnesses we can hire in our own courts nowadays. Get a professional witness in here. We can just pay him. So you're ready to die for it. He was with the Father, and he willingly came down to die for his people and to testify in their hearts that he did it. You think of the times our Lord gave parables on this earth. What a witness he gave us. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a mustard seed. That wasn't speculation. That's a first-hand account. He knows. More than any other man's ever known. He knows. And he told us. First-hand witness. I want to tell what he said. Brother Don told some young people one time, told me, nobody cares what you think. Nobody cares what you've got to say. What's God say? What's he say? The problem's not with Christ being the witness. The problem's not with those disciples being the witness. The problem's not with God's witness in our day. People have problems with me and they take it out on me and I get mad. That's my instinct. I like being mad. I'm good at it. But that, quickly he turns my mind. They ain't mad at me. They're mad at him, ain't they? Mad at him, his word. It's not the problem's not with the the witness, the problem's not with the one speaking here, but where's the problem? It says there at the end of verse 11, and ye receive not our witness. That's the problem. I've heard so many people say, we know the scriptures say X, Y, and Z, but they don't receive it. They say, I know we're free from the law, but I know we don't have to be circumcised, but I know we don't have to keep a Sabbath, but I know God puts a new heart in His people, but they don't receive it. I know we're secure forever, but how could you say but? Any of those, I don't want to. That's why I have to have it. John said in chapter 1, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Christ spoke this to the Pharisees. He said, search the Scriptures. I read your Bibles. For in them you think you have eternal life. Not in finding Christ in the Scriptures, but in arguing and debating and getting a hierarchy, a pecking order out. I know more than you do. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. He told them plainly. And ye will not come to me that you may have life. Turn over to 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5. There in verse 8. It says, and there are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit, the water, that's the Word, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Do you know how quick we are to receive the witness of men over nonsense? I mean, off the wall stuff. People say, I was abducted by aliens. Really? Chupacabra. Oh, huh? We're fools at the drop of a hat, ain't we? We'll bite on anything dangled in front of us. But if we receive the witness of men, here's a promise. Here's God's Word. The witness of God is greater. Let God be true and every man a liar. What does He say? For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. If you believe on Christ, and that's every bit of it on you, what's on Him? Everything. On Him. Because you're in Him. That's because you already have the witness. He gave you life. He gave you faith. And you say, yep, it come from Him too. I put that all that on Him too. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. He gave His people eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Eternal life is God putting a sinner in Christ. It's all His work. We witness this. We watch it happen in our lives. The Lord reveals Himself to us, and that's what we tell other people. There's not a life that's possible. Christ is the life. Tell it boldly. Christ is not a way. He's the way. He's not a truth. He's not just truths about Him. He's the truth. Everything, any doctrine we can devise from the truth of Christ is just small bites we can ingest, because we're so simple and dumb. He's the truth, the whole of Him. And salvation's in Him. Every bit of it. And back in our text here in John 3, verse 12. He speaks to Nicodemus, said, if I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? He said, how can these things be so? He said, I've told you earthly things, you didn't believe them. How am I going to speak to you about spiritual things? What earthly things is he speaking of? Is Christ speaking of? Nicodemus wasn't unfamiliar with the Scriptures. He'd read the Old Testament more times than I had. Christ told us in the Scriptures, as He gave it to God the Holy Ghost, to Moses and the men of old to write the Scriptures, He gave that to us. He told us these things. Nicodemus knew about the fall in the garden. He knew Adam fell. He knew that God had wrath against sin. He knew about Sodom and Gomorrah. He knew about Noah when the Lord looked down from heaven and said, there's no good thoughts in them. They're completely corrupt. He knew he had to get an ark. And God sealed him in that ark. He knew all about the tabernacle. He knew all about the high priest. He knew about the Holy of Holies. He knew about the mercy seat. That inside of it had that broken law. And the only way God would meet with him is put blood on it. Those are things that took place on the earth. Those are pictures and types and shadows of Christ coming on this earth. He gave it to us. To read. They were still in physical practice of it. All the prophecies of Isaiah, he read those. They knew this. It wasn't just Nicodemus. All of them knew it. Herod, on the birth of Christ, he demanded of the scribes and the chief priests, he said, where should Christ be born? And they immediately said, Bethlehem. What tribe is he from? Judah. Christ asked those Pharisees, he said, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They didn't hesitate. David. We know these things, don't we? That's just what happened physically in this earth. He said, I've told you earthly things and you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Here's four earthly things that take place physically that are heavenly revealed. God has to reveal them. And it's right here in chapter 3. All these things the Lord just told Nicodemus. It happens here, but it's spiritually revealed. First one. Natural men do not have spiritual life. We come into this world spiritually dead. We don't have no life in us. Christ said in verse 3, John 3, 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You can't see it. You can't hear it. You can't believe it. You can't follow it. You can't be a witness of these things. You can't tell nobody about a place you ain't had revealed to you. All are dead in trespasses and sins. We must be born again. For a person to truly know that in their heart, privately, not what they'll write on a confession of faith when they're alone in their closet, for that to be like, I'm dead. I died in the garden. I sinned against God. I have no hope. God revealed that to them. Not a false confession of sin, to know you are sin. You're the problem. God revealed that to you. Second, natural man cannot make themselves born again. We can't birth ourselves. Nicodemus asked her in verse 4, can I enter the second time? The Lord says there in verse 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. We have a complete lack of power, a complete lack, a total inability to save ourselves. That has to be revealed. God has to reveal that to His people. If a person truly knows that in their heart, I'm dead. I can't do nothing. I can't enter. I can't do nothing. God revealed that to him. If it's in truth, he revealed it. Man's dead spiritually. He can't birth himself. And he has no authority or sovereignty to demand of God to give him life. Demand of God to be made his elect child. I've heard men foolishly force that. If God can only save some people, I can make myself one of them. No, you don't have that authority. We're not sovereign. People get these sovereign citizens running around. They get tased too, don't they? You think that little taser does something? Imagine the God who created lightning. He's the sovereign. It says in verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. You can't demand of the wind to do what you want it to do and when you want it to blow. I want you to blow east. I want you to blow it tomorrow. It ain't going to happen. God is the sovereign of the universe. And we do not bend His arm to our will. But we can beg Him for mercy. We can come to Him and pray for His presence to be with us. We can seek a word from Him. Lord, speak. Like you prayed to say, speak to us tonight. Give us a word, Lord. You've promised it. You've gathered us here. Be with us. And all who come earnestly begging, dead dog sinners that can't save themselves and that have no sovereignty, come to Him begging for mercy, every one of them get it. Totally, fully. But we can't command it. We can beg for it, but we can't demand it, can we? Knowing our true place as the creature and not the Creator. the humility of a broken heart, a true broken and contrite heart. That's the Lord's prerogative. It's His privilege, and it's His choice to reveal that in a person. It's all His doing. Fourthly, natural man cannot ascend to heaven and figure these things out on his own. Verse 13 says, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven outside of the Christ, being born of His incorruptible seed, outside of Him giving ears to hear His word, outside of being given life, being quickened by the Holy Spirit, outside of being given faith to believe that He is. He's everything He says He is. You cannot sort this out by any means. You ain't going to figure it out. You're not going to ascend into heaven and figure it out. That leaves us with all flesh as grass, only to fade and wither. That's all mankind is." Notice, too, it doesn't say that no man has ever entered into heaven. No man's ascended up. Several have entered, ain't they? A whole multitude have already. Enoch's entered. Elijah's entered. Moses, Abraham, all the saints of old, they're already in the Lord's presence. They're with Him now in glory. How did they enter the kingdom? They didn't ascend. It says only one ascended. Who's that? But God. You know, we hear all the bad stuff about us. Man's in the building, all we're dead, all throughout the Scripture. But God, who's rich in mercy. But God. Look here, verse 13. "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but He that came down from heaven, the Son of Man, which is in heaven." That is mysterious, isn't it? Earthly and spiritually, that's mysterious. "But He that came down from heaven, the Son of Man, which is in heaven." He says He's in heaven and He's talking to Nicodemus. How can He be here and in heaven? Who's the one that can ascend? Who's the one that can give life and give faith and preserve forever? It's God. That's who He is. That's assurance. That's a sure, solid hope. That's comfort. Who is it that could save His people and shall save His people? It's God. To the sinner who cannot give life to themselves, that's wonderful news. That's who does it. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, made like we are, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world." Sinners believing. To us, that's mysterious, isn't it? "And received up into glory." That's where He is now. Nicodemus was well versed in the books of Moses. And like our Lord speaks to fishermen about fish, He comes to farmers and talks to them about seeds and planting corn, doesn't He? He speaks to Nicodemus about Moses. He reveals Himself in what Nicodemus is most familiar with. God comes to where His people are when He reveals Himself. He speaks to us where we can understand. And boy, I'm thankful for that. He says in verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." We'll look at this more next week. But the people chided Moses because it's plain bread. We're starving to death. All we got these little tiny white balls of bread. It's plain. Tired of it. Ain't you got something else? That's what's going on in our day. Every week you get up there, Kevin, and you say that man ain't nothing but sin, can't save himself, and Christ is all, bow to Him. Tired of that. Tell us something different. So they went after Moses. They chided him and whipped him, beat him. Moses looked as well kill him. And God sent serpents to bite every one of them. And a whole bunch of them died. And He said, "You make a serpent out of brass. Lift it high up." Christ was made like we are. But there's no venom in Him, was there? There was no sin in Him. And He was lifted up on a cross at Calvary. And if you look to Him, you'll live. Well, if I'm blind, look to Him and live. Well, if I can't hear, well, if my neck's broken and my head only down like that, close your eyes and look to Him and live. Look to Him. And He must be lifted up. We'll look at this more next week. But God, who was on earth and in heaven, this God-man, who was able to ascend, this is what He's telling Nicodemus. We know He's already ascended. We know He's risen on high. We know He's received of the Father. We know He's seated at His right hand, ruling and reigning, making intercession for His people. He must be lifted up. And verse 15 says that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Christ told that to a member of the Sanhedrin. He was working in his heart. I don't know what was going on in Nicodemus' heart. I know what goes on in mine when I read it. Whosoever. Nicodemus, that includes you. That'd be pretty, we'll see next week. That's pretty offensive, Nicodemus, to his co-workers. That includes you, Nicodemus. You listen to the sound of my voice. That includes you. Whosoever. Whosoever believes in the Son of Man, who is both God the Son and the Son of God, should not perish. To believe His Word, to believe His person, to believe His accomplished salvation, to believe His ability, to believe His worth, His power, and any attribute we can come up with that we can list. To believe that He is who He says He is. They shall not perish and they have eternal life. What a promise. That's a promise, sir. That's something you stand on. That's a whole lot better than what I'd have to say. I can't give words like that. He can. That's who we bow to. That's who we want to be with. Be conformed to. Be with for eternity. Amen.